As we continue to go through the week, again, let's remember prayer. God does hear and answer prayer. He wants us to come before Him, and He wants us to spend that time alone with Him in prayer. We've been studying the book of Genesis, and before we get into that, does anybody remember the key words for the first five books of the Bible? We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and we call that what group? The Pentateuch or the Law. Does anybody remember those key words? Okay, we've got beginnings. Do you remember any more? Okay, so Genesis is, go ahead, Ashton, beginnings. Exodus is redemption. They're redeemed from Egypt. And then we have what book next? Leviticus means holiness. God is holy. And then we have Numbers, that is journeys. And then Deuteronomy is obedience. Okay, so let's go ahead and say that a couple times. I know you say, well, man, we say that all the time. How many of you have them all memorized yet? Okay, that's why we're saying them. Okay, so here we go. Genesis, beginnings. Exodus, redemption. Leviticus, holiness. Numbers, journeys. Deuteronomy, obedience. One more time. Genesis, beginnings. Exodus, redemption. Leviticus, holiness. Numbers, journeys. Deuteronomy, obedience. And then we get into the next section of Scripture, and can you show us the title of that section? That is history. And we think about history, we've got a number of history books in the Old Testament. How many of you loved history in school? How many of you hated history in school? There is something special about Bible history, though, isn't there? Man, it isn't exciting. That's right. Amen. Amen. It's been neat to watch Hannah as she has gone through world history and some of these other things from Becca, Pensacola's academy, and watching how they do show God through so much of this ancient history and then through so many of these other things, because it is all about Him. So we're going to do, I think I've got five of these on there. Go ahead and just throw them all up there, Ashton, if you would. We've got Joshua possession. We learned about that as we studied the book of Joshua. Judges, we've got apostasy. In the book of Judges, they turned to God, and what did they do then? Turn away from God, and they turned to God, and turned away from God. You can throw them all on there. We've got five on this one, Ashton. Ruth, we have kinsman redeemer. We see that with Boaz, that he's the kinsman redeemer. And really, we have one redeemer for us, and aren't you thankful for that? 1 Samuel, we see transition. It is transitioning out of Judges, the time period of the Judges, and into a kingdom. It's transitioning from one king, and we see another one, and we get into that. This last summer, I think we studied the life of King Saul in the Auditorium Sunday School class in depth. 2 Samuel, then, we specifically see David's reign, just so much about that. So these are our next five that we're going to get into to work on those. Let's go ahead and just say these a couple times. Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. And we'll continue to work through those and learn those. But again, as we read through the Bible, these can kind of just help us, okay, this is where we're going with this book. This is kind of the theme that we can see throughout this book. One more time. Joshua, possession. Judges, apostasy. Ruth, kinsman redeemer. 1 Samuel, transition. 2 Samuel, David's reign. And we'll continue to work through those. So, excellent. That is, again, some more in the Old Testament. But getting into our study, we are studying the book of Genesis. And we studied Genesis 1 and 2. And really, we could have gone so much more in depth in the first two chapters of Genesis. I think we probably could have taken that and made that a good 26-week study just in those two chapters. Incredible, in depth. We're kind of water skiing over the book of Genesis, but enough to, again, see some of these truths. Tonight we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. And as we're in Genesis chapter 3, we remember that sin destroys. Sin is devastating. Again, there's so many different truths we can pull out of Genesis 3, but I specifically wanted us to think about temptation and sin this evening. But before we get into this study, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help us as we study your word to see you. God, help us to be changed into your image and to realize what sin did, yes, to Adam and Eve, but what it does to us so often when we let it take root in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now it's interesting. We remember the last little bit of chapter 2, we see they're married. And we see, really, we see them in a state of sinlessness. And really, that's one of those truths we can see in verse 25. "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed," which, by the way, should only happen in marriage. It has become a shameless thing. Just take your clothes off and bare all today, and it's all okay. Well, it's not okay. In marriage, it's a shameless thing. It should be a shameless thing in marriage. But again, there are issues sometimes that have to be worked through with all of that. But we see them here in a state, again, without sin. But now here in chapter 3, the serpent comes to them. He's subtle. He's secret. He deceives. People come and ask subtle questions sometimes, right? And you say, well, man, just come out and ask me instead of going around the bush 24 times before you get to the question. The reality here is that the devil here, he's subtle. He said, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Did God say they shouldn't touch it? God said they shouldn't what? Eat of it. Now, I think there are some reasons we should set standards in our lives. By the way, standards that aren't right at the edge of sin. Okay, so even we think of this whole sexual relationship aspect. It's not just that young people or people outside of marriage should stop right before they get to that full-blown intimacy. I think there's some standards that need to be set up before that. Not necessarily saying, God has said you can't do this. Now, there are some things that we can say, these are biblical principles on why I don't believe you should do this. There are standards we need to set in our individual lives. There are standards we should set for television viewing. There are standards we should set for how close we'll get to certain things or where we'll go or where we won't go because of certain sinful things that maybe are be struggles in my life or I don't want to be a stumbling block to someone else that I'm with or however it may be. But the reality is, we can't say, well, God said. There are people who say, well, man, I don't own a TV, and no Christian should own a TV. Now, I'll be honest, there's a lot of trash on TV, isn't there? Now, we have a TV. We were given one. It's a little box, and it sits in our closet, and we pull it out when we watch VHSs. And it sure is a blessing. We watch stuff on the internet, YouTube and stuff. We've got computers. Is there a lot of trash on the internet? There is. I think more so than on a TV. But does that mean because I don't have a TV sitting up in my living room that, man, I'm going to teach and preach? You should not have a TV. It is ungodly and wicked. And if you've got one, go take your shotgun and blow it up. Okay, Laura, I take that's a no, right? Okay. Yeah. Can I tell you, over the years, there have been preachers who have said that. There have been. And they've gathered them at church with their shotguns and they've had like gun ranges with them. I'm not joking. There again, it comes to the individual soul liberty we're talking about in our Sunday school class. But again, I've got to be very careful what I say. God has said. Eve said, God said we can't even touch it. No, wait a second. He said, don't eat of it. So there are standards we need to have, but we can't say God has said. But the reason we set standards is because what? Sin destroys. And so we do need to set standards and stay away. First, we see sin destroys human relationships. Here, we see that it really hurt her own self. She began to believe lies and then tell herself lies and tell others lies because, again, it wasn't God's word that she was saying to Satan or even to herself. She told some lies there. But look at some other lies. Verse there we go. Verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of it. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. By the way, notice the difference between that and verse 25. Verse 7 and verse 25 of the previous chapter. There's a huge difference, isn't there? How many other people were around now in verse 7 where they shouldn't have been naked? None! So what made the difference? Sin. The guiltiness of sin. Human relationships are affected. Even the marriage relationship was affected. They felt uncomfortable together. There was sin that needed to be dealt with. And so, man, it hurt themselves, it hurt herself, but it also hurt those close to her. It hurts those close to me. Sin hurts those close to me. Who are some people close to me that my sin hurts? Okay, my kids. Does my sin hurt my kids? Yeah, it does. Do I ever have to apologize to my kids? Sadly, it's more than I wish. My sin hurts my kids. Someone else said my wife. Man, my sin hurts Karen. Man, I don't want to hurt her, and yet here I take my sin and, who else does my sin hurt? Okay, it hurts God. On the human aspect here, we'll get into that here shortly, but on the human aspect, who else does my sin hurt? Okay, my parents, my friends. Anyone. That's really it. Man, my sin affects you. And your sin affects who? All of us, right? We all affect, our sin affects each other. Our sin does destroy human relationships. I don't want it to. But man, I've got to be conscious with my sin. It does hurt those close to me. I might lead others to sin. Again, we saw she ended up sinning and then giving to her husband. There's so much more we could get in depth with that. And seeing from Adam's aspect, where was he, what was going on. But it does lead others and it does hurt others. And then also we see as sin destroys human relationships, we see it makes me feel guilty. Verse 7, they felt guilty. They knew something was wrong. In fact, they sewed plant leaves together to make clothes. They were still husband and wife just before this. And I don't know exactly how much time passed in here, but man, it said they were unashamed. And now, man, they did know good and evil. And it sure wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth it. Man, I've heard of pastors. I heard of a pastor. I don't even know who or where, but I remember hearing his story from one of my teachers in college. He's like, man, I've heard that these pornographic magazines are bad, but he never really had experience with them. Well, one was thrown over the church fence, and as he was walking around cleaning up, he saw it, and so he started looking at it. And what do you think it did? It destroyed him in his life. A little bit of sin. It made him feel guilty, but man, it destroyed everyone in his path. And the reality is my sin does hurt people, human relationships. Myself? How many of you love feeling guilty? Man, I hate it. Yet, how often do I feel guilty? You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't we as adults still feel guilty over our sin this week? Oh, got to take care of it. What am I going to do? So sin does destroy human relationships. Next, we see sin destroys heavenly relationships. Pam already mentioned this. Man, it affects our relationship with God. Verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. First, again, here's another lie. You can't hide from God, can you? Man, you can try, but Psalm 139 reminds us God's everywhere. And really, Genesis 1, remember that? In the beginning, God. created the heaven and the earth. There's so many realities we saw about God in verse 1. But here, they're trying to hide from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Did God know where they were? Yeah, so why did he ask? To see if they'd admit it. You know, it's interesting. Accusations harden the heart, but questions prick the conscience. Man, as we're dealing with people, they often tend to respond better if we just ask, "Hey, who did that? Do you know what happened here? You did what?" There's a difference. And so here God even, he's asking them, "Where are you?" And look what happens next. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Again, who did God talk to? Adam and Eve? Well, yeah, but who specifically here? Adam. He's the leader. He's the head of the home. He had a lot of responsibility here. He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Why are you guilty?" And the man said, "I did it, God." Right? No, he acted like how many times we act that way. "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree and I did eat. It's not my fault, it's yours, God, because you gave me this woman. And then it's hers because she gave it to me." Double blame, man. Talk about, you can't just single blame, man. You might as well blame God in the whole process. Adam wasn't quite ready to admit his own guilt. How many times am I not quite ready to admit my own guilt? "Well, God, if you hadn't allowed this in my life, I would never be in this situation. God, if you do this for me, I wouldn't have to be like this." But the reality is, my sin is wicked. And when I come before God, I have to grasp that. And I have to take personal responsibility. Sin destroys heavenly relationships. My relationship with God and God's relationship with me. It does make a difference. I become uncomfortable with God. I feel uncomfortable when he's around. I begin to stay away from church more and more. Or, man, I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to pray. Because it just makes me feel what? Guilty. What did King David do when he was after his sin with Bathsheba of adultery? Man, his whole body waxed old. Groaning, the pain, and just the guilt that embedded him. Until finally Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And David's like, "It was me." Here, God asked Adam, what happened? He blames Eve. Verse 13, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this." And then he gets into the consequences specifically, where we've got to end for the night. But yes, we see sin does destroy heavenly relationships. God still wants that relationship with us, right? Still wants it. He asked for it with them. He was seeking them out. Where are you? What's going on? Yes. But then he said, they were uncomfortable with God, but then he began to say there are consequences. I see even in the blame game, as we talk about, I might blame others. It might be God. It might be those close to me. It might be others who only influence me. Eve, it was the serpent. He beguiled me. The reality is I need to take credit for my sin, right? Don't we want to take credit when we do a good job? I got to take credit for my sin and say, "Okay, God, it was mine." And then deal with it. God wants me to admit my wrong and let God change my life. As much as I know most of you in here, you've had a time when you've trusted Christ as Savior. If not, you need to be saved today. But if you have, let's deal with our sin that we have when? Tomorrow. Let's deal with it tomorrow. and confess and forsake. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you would continue to grow us, change us, help us to deal with temptation and sin as you want us to, not being blaming others like Adam and Eve did, but to just admit it right away and say, God, would you help me? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.